There we go. We have a special treat tonight. There she is. There she is. Nope. Where is she?
I'm hiding. I'm hiding behind the word good.
There she is. All right.
I don't want to be hiding behind the eagle word. I'll let good be my banner over.
Exactly. Isaiah 5:20 and 2 Corinthians 4:4. We'll get to those in just a moment.
Yeah. Really exciting and uplifting information, I think, tonight.
Put that back up there. Get that off of there. There it is. Okay. Now we got it in there. Yeah, we have a little different slant.
Calling good evil. Mm-hmm.
This is a continuation of our discussion that we started on Sunday regarding woe, and we quoted from Isaiah 5:20, and we're going to go back to that tonight. We're going to look at it a second time, and we will go on over to a corresponding scripture, 2 Corinthians 4:4. But yeah,
I have one too that I want to read.
Okay, what is it? What's the chapter and verse?
It is John 17:23. I am in you, you are in me, they are in me, and we are one.
Okay.
It's something that we have said before, but I think in light of what we spoke about tonight, we were again over dinner. speaking about entanglement, and I think what we were, are you in there?
Yeah, I'm in there.
And speaking to spooky action at a distance and saying how to those in the world, somebody like Einstein and all those following before and after him that do not acknowledge God, to try and see the unseen and make sense of it would appear to be spooky because they don't understand it and they do not embrace the power of God. So spooky can mean scary, it can mean fearful. And so from that came our discussion about entanglement and how quantum computing will actually work against Satan because of his understanding of entanglement.
Right. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to revisit what we started on Sunday, which is brain-computer interface. I'm going to do a little bit of a deep dive. That'll be the second half of tonight. Kathleen's going to be with us for the first hour or so, and we'll talk about our newest revelation, if you will, regarding entanglement, quantum entanglement. The whole notion of quantum mechanics, we're going to give you a little different perspective on it tonight. And then I will take us into quantum consciousness, the brain. We'll look at Penrose and Hameroff and their thinking on this, going way back, actually back into
2011.
Well, beyond that, Hameroff began this, and he's an anesthesiologist by profession. Stuart Hameroff, University of Arizona, began publishing some papers in the early 1980s regarding his theories on quantum consciousness, and then we'll carry that forward, and we'll see how deep into the weeds we get on that discussion. Anyway.
It doesn't take much.
And, you know, as always, I'm abbreviating what we really have. And then the continuation, the deeper weeds, if you will, are in Entangled Magazine. So, you know, this whole discussion just keeps going in circle about quantum entanglement. And as somebody repeated in band this afternoon, my comment that reading these papers is like, you know, it makes me laugh is what someone said. I have said that, and I've also said it's very much like reading comic books. It is laughable what Satan claims to be capable of doing, and I'm saying that through his minions in science, and what he professes to be super about what he's doing. And that's kind of the leaping off point of our conversation today.
Yeah, he is basically looking to develop his own vocabulary and science, a new science, if you will, and calling it quantum mechanics, which is just a very big and fanciful name for that which they can never explain and never will be able to explain. We went from that discussion into one that I kept saying, let's follow logic. In science, logic is big.
Mm-hmm.
It has to make sense. If this, then that. We talked about them referring to, we were talking about cellular logic gates.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, those are the doors, gates, doors. Those are the doors that Jordy Rowe says that we are going to open doors and not know what comes through.
Mm-hmm.
He was speaking because he's behind the computer interfacing of biological mm-hmm. synthetic human beings. The cellular logic gates, doors, are going to open. And they aren't sure what's going to be passing through in terms of proteins and what the DNA is going to do when it's, when the messenger RNA is configured in the computer and then put into the human. They don't know. So they don't know what's going to come through those gates, doors, as he's speaking.
Let me just clarify. Yes, Jordy Rose has said words to that effect. The more specific quote that I have cited came from CERN, came from the then head of computing and science at CERN, Sergio Bertolucci, in 2009.
Oh, he's the one that said that.
He said that we are going to, and this is, he was representing CERN. I mean, that was his position.
Mm-hmm.
He was being interviewed at the time. And he said, in effect, pretty much verbatim, we are going to open an interdimensional doorway. We are going to send something through. But we're not sure what is going to come back through that doorway.
Mm-hmm.
And then people like Jordy Rose jumped on that. People like the late Stephen Hawking even went so far as to say, you don't want to open that doorway. This is Hawking to Bertolucci. You don't want to open that doorway. You don't know what's going to come through. You don't know who is going to come through, is what Hawking was warning about.
Mm-hmm.
And he, in his own way, without really acknowledging Jordy Rose, he was speaking inadvertently to what Jordy Rose was talking about in terms of opening parallel dimensions and communicating with the great old ones, as he said it at Tech Vancouver in 2015, when he put up his PowerPoint slide. They were recruiting demonologists. They put a line through the word demonologist, but they were recruiting demonologists for the purpose of defending humanity against the great old ones that were coming to the earth. This is Jordy Rose. I mean, this is crazy talk. And that they would regard humans as we humans regard ants, with indifference. And the very first slide, again, I'm always, kind of putting this up there, but the very first slide of his PowerPoint recruiting campaign was a picture of little old me. And he was making fun of me relating his statements about parallel dimensions, getting back more energy from those parallel dimensions than they used to access those parallel dimensions, and my saying his receiving back more energy, 10%, was representative of quantum pollution of our reality, which then I summed up as the manifestations of the Mandela effect, quantum pollution. And he was trying to make fun of me by putting my picture up and saying, they think our quantum computing has something to do with Mandela effect. Well, it does, Jordy. You just don't want to admit it.
Well, I don't give a lot of credence to the Mandela effect in light of what I'm seeing now. I really don't.
Right.
And again, we are continually evolving in our understanding and perception of things. And the news that we have to share tonight about what is actually happening should send shivers down the spine of people like Jordy Rose, who now wants to fashion himself as the mad computer scientist. And that's what he sees himself as now because of his involvement with quantum computing and the merging of man and machine.
To produce their synths.
Right.
At Sanctuary, a company he founded.
Right. And what those in the hierarchy of this technology are trying to do is to say that computers are being able to read people's minds. They're going to be able to do things. Remember, not long ago, we talked about how you would sit down at your computer and without even having mentioned anything, certain things will come on because they want you to think that the computer is reading your mind. In the words of John Panette, oh, nay, nay, that is not what's happening. Not for God's children. Nope. Something very different is happening. And that is that power that we spoke about from the Holy Spirit is concentrated now because so many have already gone. Satan in this particular generation, which is unlike any other generation before, because this is the end time, he has claimed the majority of people in this generation.
Right.
Leaving a handful of God's true children. That power, that concentration of the Holy Spirit is now in a very small, select group, the elect of God. They have their elite, God has his elect. And now all of his power is focused on keeping his children until Jesus returns.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, our power over this technology. Daniel, seal up the book. It is for another time. You're not going to find your answers that way.
Yep.
We have the ability to call to, in our mind, the information that we want, and it come to us through Satan's medium. How do we know that that's happening? Well, their own science proves it. This is where Satan's technology is going to work against him. Case in point, when we talk about calling evil good and good evil, let's follow logic. Evil, good. Good is positive, upspin, number one. Evil, negative, downspin, zero. Do you think Jesus knew what he was talking about when he said, woe to them who call evil good and good evil? I'm telling you, follow the logic in this. Jesus was calling out to the scientists that were going to be operated in what they label quantum mechanics.
And superposition.
Evil good, good evil. He's saying everything's upside down. So there's the upspin, the downspin. What does an upspin and a downspin represent? It represents a one and a zero. Was Jesus not speaking to woe to those who call evil good and good evil quantum mechanics? By way of logic.
Sure he was.
So he knew what they were going to be doing. This is just Satan trying to label something that God already said in two or three words. Woe. Being the most noteworthy.
Yep.
To those who are calling everything in life a one and a zero.
Yep.
Satan just needs to be able to lay claim to something using a different vernacular. That he's created something new. He hasn't. I told you it's like the roulette wheel in Vegas when you drop the ball and it goes around. Wherever it lands at that moment, that is the number. That's what Satan has been given. He's been given a world of randomness that he can't even explain.
Yep.
But he's going to try and explain it and get humans to keep repeating the same terminology over and over. Mm-hmm. In hopes that it will be accepted. He has nothing definitive that he can put his finger on and say, this is it.
Right.
But God can. Because what he says goes. It is the beginning and it is the end. There is no gray where God is concerned.
Yeah.
And I find it interesting because now in this world, gray is everything. Every house that they create, no matter how modern it is, gray flooring, gray walls, gray is the new beige. No, it's not. It's bland. There's no color. It's washed out.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing attractive about gray. It only reminds me of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. It's one shade before black.
Yep. Well, upspin.
Yes.
Being one.
Yes.
In their vernacular, as you're labeling it tonight, they're digitizing of God's creation into zeros and ones. The upspin, as they want to describe the state, the energy state of an electron or a photon, we're going to be talking about photons later on tonight, supraluminal.
Mm-hmm.
Photons. Anyway, upspin. Where's it pointing to? If you're pointing up, where are you pointing to? Heaven.
Mm-hmm.
If you're talking about downspin, negative, zero, you're talking about hell.
Yeah, based on the traditional sense, if you wanted to
right.
say
up and down
where they are,
right.
but
yeah. above
it's also
in the in the Kabbalist vernacular, as above, so below. That's how they describe it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they give the tree of life with the tree above ground and the root system reproducing what's above below. Ground level. That's their imagery of as above, so below is the tree of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so what we're saying here, just again to kind of rephrase all of this, is Satan is trying to portray through science himself and the forbidden knowledge as something that is super. That is greater than God, that is greater than God's creation, which is you and I. And he is, through the reductionist methodology of science, reducing humanity down to zeros and ones. And yet, in quantum mechanics, specifically quantum computing, there is a state of zero and one known as superposition. And again, we've talked about this quite often, but it is emblematic of the word super being applied to a state, a descriptor that Satan cannot pinpoint, he cannot define. It is only a probability state in quantum physics, quantum mechanics, quantum computing, in geomancy. In divination, it is only a state of probability. Heisenberg called this the Heisenberg uncertainty principle in physics. So they acknowledge the fact that it is an uncertain state. It is not a finite state. It is not a certain state in quantum computing, in quantum mechanics. And yet, people hearing the word super, they've been preconditioned to think that that is positive and benevolent and it is above man's capabilities because of Superman, Superwoman,
yeah.
superheroes, all of this preconditioning. And so when they hear it from the scientists, they go, Oh,
that's so far above me. I can't possibly understand it.
Yeah, it's over my pay grade. I'm so sick of people saying that to me. That's over my pay grade.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Just sit still and think a little bit.
When we have showed through the movements that God showed us with the tetrahedrons, and I won't go into that again, we have, the Lord, Satan's understanding of it is, well, this is a super position to be in, and don't read it for anything more than that.
Right.
He is saying, listen, scientists, I've been teaching you for generations now. Quantum mechanics is it. This is, it's going to give you the answers to everything that you need. I have the answer. It's as simple as one and zero, yes or no, up or down, black and white, good and evil. Mm-hmm. This is a super position to be in because I get to choose whatever I want. It will be whatever I want it to be at the moment I call it. He is trying to unify man in him through the image of using computing to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So man is being re-imaged from the computer design. And now the biological is coming in into play with all of that.
Yep.
So that connection now is made. It's already done. It's a done deal. He is copying and mirroring the unity that God said when he said, in me, you are a new creation. The old is gone. Behold, all things become new. Yep. That's at the point of belief and faith in Jesus Christ.
Right.
That changed things in the supernatural realm that had its outworking in your physical body. Satan's doing the same thing. Only he's using this technology to do it. So there are spiritual doorways that are being opened.
Yep.
But it's for the infiltration of the demonic realm into this new human body, synthetic body that has been created.
And it is an approximation.
Exactly. But they have all ways of arriving at it.
Isn't that
weird? I know what it is. Okay. All right. Let's shut off now. That's your Lakes Region fire thing that goes on and off.
Okay.
So, anyway, there we go. That just took me off in another direction. What was I saying?
So we were talking approximation. We're talking
about divination and how that's why so many different forms of the very same random number generation is used throughout since the beginning of time. I mean, back to the Babylonian
and last
kings.
Sunday we talked about quantum key distribution with respect to quantum entangled communications, the quantum internet. We talked about the Chinese advancement in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is absolutely emblematic of random number generation and distribution. When you say quantum key distribution, it is a random process that generates a supposed random number. This is all geomancy.
Right.
And those that don't get into and define the words, don't look at quantum key distribution. And then look at those individual words and come down through history looking at those. They don't see the origin, therefore they don't see the spiritual operation as it's playing out in cryptography.
One of the things that stands out to me the most about this, and I find it very exciting, is I am now looking at what Satan is doing in science, and I am realizing, wait a minute, if he's doing this, that must mean that God has already done this. That must mean that we are capable of this. So when he's talking about quantum entanglement and being able to do something in China and have it affect something that's going on in, what was it?
Vienna.
Vienna. So I was going to say Switzerland. And have the same thing happen in Vienna.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that tells me, if Satan's doing this, he understands a process that God is doing with his children right now, because he's always trying to beat God. He thinks he's going to beat them. beat him.
He's copying a pre-existing system.
So what that tells me is that God, being in heaven through the power of the Holy Spirit, is doing things. He's working things in heaven that his children now, in this time, which is different from any other time, are now empowered to have that, to have them, you, me, everyone here, work out what he is dictating in heaven. That should scare Satan immensely. And it does. That's why there's such a rush to explain this entanglement and get the process honed. Because God's already doing it with his children. And that is very dangerous to his plans on earth, should God's children wake up and realize the power that is at work within them right now.
Right. So here, go ahead.
No, anyway, go ahead. You go ahead.
Here, let's go back to Sunday, which was repeating things we've said several times. And that is, when we talk about prayer, and prayer isn't the only communication with God, but when we pray with God, man's attempt to define and describe prayer is quantum entanglement. Okay, we're quantum entangled with the Lord in prayer. So that's a secular description of what spiritually is occurring between us. But outside of prayer, there's still that communication. I've often said that it's like a walking conversation with God, however it manifests with you. But there is more communication, continual communication, that is occurring with you. And that is, to use the secular quantum description, that is a state of entanglement that is encrypted. Remember Sunday, talking about the Chinese quantum entangled, encrypted quantum key distribution for a private key for encryption, encrypting information that is communicated and also teleported. All of that from Sunday. If you didn't listen Sunday, please do, because it'll make tonight a lot more understandable. Here's the thing. Satan realizes that our communications with our Creator and with our Lord, beyond any encryption that Satan and his minions can come up with, it is absolutely encrypted. He can't tap into, he can't hack the information that is flowing between us and God. What God, what Kathleen was just saying, that is being imparted to us, his elect, a small group today, Satan can't hear that. He can't tap into it. That's such a sophisticated level of encryption. It is not even encryption that can be, in a scientific manner, fully described.
Can I?
Yeah, go ahead.
There is, you know, a lot of technology being employed to track and watch what humans are looking at and reading.
Yep.
And the reason for that being, this is where, again, Satan's technology works against him. Because those who are under his control and under his umbrella can be fed information that they just take in, hook, line, and sinker.
Right.
You know, their favorite shoes pop up, their favorite dressmaker pops up. What's happening now is different. And this is where I believe the power of the Holy Spirit to us overrides, in a sense, this. This is what they're watching for, because they want to know when God's switch, so to speak, is flipped.
Yep.
And I can say right now, I believe it has. And it is in the process, and his children are being transformed.
Yep.
I believe that's happening now. So when we look at something, and it throws the whole Mandela effect out the window, it would be just like Satan to label something so amazing as, you know, a Mandela effect. No, it isn't. It's the power of the Holy Spirit within an individual who is a child of God upsetting technology in the demonic realm. It sends ripples through it. The current, the frequency that we operate on is different. God's not going to give us over to this.
Right.
We will master it. And we don't have to know Python to do it. We don't have to know all their billions upon billions of line of code. And we don't need a quantum computer to do it.
Right.
If there is something that we need in this time and we call to our Father and say, you know what? I've got all this chicken in the refrigerator tonight. What am I going to do with all of that? And I go onto my computer, and all of a sudden something pops up that says, your favorite chicken breast recipes right here. And it was only thought, it's not because computers are reading your mind. Don't give Satan that much control or give him that kind of, what's the word I'm looking for when you're giving people more credit than they need? Just don't give him that. The power of the Holy Spirit working through this can get us anything we want in terms of information, if that's what we need and God feels it's okay. There is a greater measure of power that is given to us because we're working now really with understanding of the times that we're in. We are in the fullness of the Gentiles, so we're coming into that fullness right now. We didn't expect the mark of the beast to be what it is. A vaccination that carried components that were going to change the temple of God's Holy Spirit from the inside out. Well, you're not expecting either the understanding and the
insights.
We're just not understanding how it is that God's going to go about it. We're not grasping that. And so even saying these words to another child of God might be like, wow, is that really happening? The answer is yes, it is. And it's not the computer reading your mind. Listen to this. This is so amazing. And it is John 17:23, and I'm going to read 22 and 24 after it. I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfectly united. What is Satan trying to call it? He's trying to call it entanglement, which means oneness. But his, to me, is decoherent. His entanglement.
It's chaotic.
Yeah. Well, you were talking tonight about using the words coherence and decoherent.
Right.
You know, with respect to quantum entanglement. But really, that's his labeling of the oneness that he's seeking with these humans that have now come under his control.
Right.
So he's only copying what Jesus was saying here. I am in them and you in me, that they may be perfectly united. Satan is saying entangled. So that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them just as you have loved me. Father, I want those, and I love this. I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, that they may see the glory you gave me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. And we worry. You have words like that in just one paragraph. The Lord would say to you, fear not. Fear not. In this world you will have tribulation, trouble, but I have overcome the world, even our faith. In other words, when we have those moments where we waver because we see what's happening, that sensing that everybody is feeling in them as a child of God as to this world, that sort of pulling away, the not interested in life anymore, it's because we're waiting for the builder whose maker, you know, the builder and maker is God. We're waiting for that city, the new Jerusalem, And I think that it is astounding to me that as we look at quantum entanglement and what they're trying to achieve has already been achieved by God himself. Satan can only copy what God has done.
Yep.
And he left heaven with only half the blueprints under his arm.
If that.
Which is why they don't know what's coming through those doors.
Yeah.
Lift up your head, O ye gates, that the King of Glory might come through. Those are the gates they better be careful of, because he's coming.
Isn't it funny that Libra, the cryptocurrency, renamed as Diem, which I call, it means the day,
mm-hmm.
but I call it the day of their Lord.
Right.
Diem was purchased by Silvergate Investments.
Yes.
Another gate.
Yeah.
Of course, we have the gates of the temple.
Right.
Golden Gate, Silver Gate. We have Bill Gates. We have the...
He's barely worth mentioning.
The gate model computer. Now, just to be specific, again, for those that understand quantum computers and von Neumann transistor-based computers... Both are considered gate computers. Quantum computers with their qubits, classical von Neumann computers with their transistors. Those are both considered gate computers. Most commonly, more in a more familiar fashion, people know about transistors and know that they specifically are gates, and they call transistor classical computers gate model computers, but they're both gates. So in the computing itself, no matter the type, we have gates. And what are they imparting into our body biologically? Gates. Mm-hmm. Logic gates, biocomputing in our bodies, those that take the mark of the beast. Those that are saved, we are exposed to some of that through the aerosolized chemtrail spraying, but the full armor of God has been protecting us from those bio gates. Nonetheless, gates and gates and gates and gates everywhere.
Yes. Well, that's really all I had to say tonight.
Let me check my notes. I wanted to make sure that we got everything. So, I guess let me kind of sum up and rephrase what you said, and to emphasize the discussion I'm going to continue tonight is on brain-computer interface, and this is Satan trying to control the human mind. He's bringing the human mind down in its capabilities to the level of AI. Okay. Because AI cannot reach the level of the human brain. It's never going to happen. But in so doing, Satan is trying to convince the world that it is a benevolent movement in the direction of connecting a human brain to a computer. A lot of the world thinks that's an advancement. You and I understand that is going the other way. It is a reduction. It is a retreat from what God created between our ears. I'm going to be talking about Hameroff and Penrose and their model of relating quantum computing to the human brain. And we've published about this and spoken about it, but I want to, in the flavor of what we're revealing tonight, I want to revisit that. Because science is trying to convince the human race that this is an advancement, that this is an augmentation, this is an improvement upon what God created. To interface with a dumb machine, I don't care if it's a quantum computer, it is a dumb machine in comparison to our human brain. When you hear people like, what's his name? I'm so bad with names. From Google. Ray Kurzweil, and even Elon Musk. Elon Musk from the perspective of, quote, in air quotes, warning against the advancement of AI, that AI is an existential threat to humanity, while at the same time he's working on brain-computer interface technology.
This is the classic, okay. Serpent, two-tongue.
You know, so Kurzweil years ago was saying that it's inevitable that humans will interface with computers, that there will be a brain-computer interface, and that it will occur through biology. Said that years ago. I think someone posted that in Band earlier today. Kurzweil acknowledged that it would be genetic modification that would result in a brain-computer interface. We are here right now, here today with that. But they put the spin on it as if this is improving humanity. Oh, the lies. Calling good evil.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
This is clearly the enslavement by Satan of human brains. And the world applauds it in its ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
What we are showing you tonight about quantum entanglement is that you're being augmented as children of God beyond anything that can be accomplished in the secular science with regard to the entanglement of the human brain with the quantum computers. We've described this, I've gone through it, but that pales in comparison to the quote, I use that heavily, the entanglement that we experience when we communicate with God and with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. To call it entanglement doesn't do it justice.
It's almost blasphemous in a way.
Almost.
Yeah.
Almost it is.
Yeah.
But again, I'm underscoring that it is man's best attempt at describing it. My attempt using science to describe it so that there is a correlation that occurs with those that understand quantum entanglement and then apply it to communicating with God, there's a sense of some understanding that this is supernatural, that it's indescribable. Because in the world of quantum computing, scientists find it indescribable, that they can't quite explain. It's called the black box paradox. This is more specific to AI, but AI and quantum computing, those are two conjoined titles. Therefore, the AI black box paradox applies to literally the D-Wave black box computer, if you will. That paradox is that scientists have built the machine, AI. It is self-correcting, self-learning, self-programming, and it is arriving at solutions that it offers to man, and man can understand the solutions, but man cannot describe what took place in the black box to arrive at that solution. Because what is occurring with AI is beyond human understanding, that it occurs in a black box, thus the paradox. Now, the secular world will step back in awe and go, oh, AI is super. Even the scientists say, oh, a zero and a one simultaneously, a one can be a one and a zero can be a one and a one can be a zero and a zero can be a one, and it's super. It's a super position, and the world goes, ooh,
it's
and
random.
Awe.
It's random numbers.
Wow. Yeah, let's not even try figuring out what AI is doing in that box, because it's beyond us. It's beyond our pay grade. Let's just get down on bended knee and worship it. That's what's going on.
I'm thinking about the days of the kings, you know, when kings ruled. And those in the king's immediate circle, his advisors, knew how they were going to advance into the world. But yet the people that they swore to protect, the general public, didn't know those things.
Nope.
So Satan, thinking that he is the king of this world, and he has been given a certain amount of control, with everything that he is trying to do right now, he's looking at the humans as, just as Jordy Rose spoke through the spirit of Satan himself when he said, they will view you as if you were an ant. That tells you right there who it is that's calling the shots. And it doesn't matter how much. Satan is not benevolent in the least towards science. They come away with more questions than they will ever have answers for.
Right.
It just will never happen because they're dealing with things that they don't know what they're dealing with.
Yep.
But Satan is using them to build an infrastructure that humanity can speak the lingo, even if they can't quite explain it that well, but they can build this infrastructure according to Satan's design because he needs backup support if he's going to run this world.
Yeah.
He's calling to the demonic realm to come in to kind of keep humanity under control.
Absolutely under control.
Which is why these gates, when they open, and the bottomless pit of data is utilized, it's going to just wow everybody.
Yeah.
People are just going to be in awe. I'm not. You're not. They're not. But those who have come under Satan's control and direction are going to just be, I mean, look at these scientists want to like wet their pants the first time they start talking about something new in quantum computing. They're all, I mean, the fools at CERN, you know, and the things that they're playing with.
And they Google a few years ago saying quantum supremacy. See, we see the same vernacular.
Yeah.
Supremacy.
Yeah.
Superposition.
Well, they, you know, and that's why you see Hollywood coming out with all these robotic heroes, you know, that have supernatural powers.
Yep.
They really think that these people that would even try to remotely reflect some type of beyond normal power will display that, but it's only because of the demon within them that has taken up residence within that body. I would say the intelligence that Satan holds up as being the highest of the esteemed of the earth, you know, because that's the greatest thing on earth, isn't it? Just to be the most smartest person in the world. Is it not the best compliment that you could ever get if they go, oh yeah, she's really smart. Or yeah, he's really smart. Why? Because it feeds a part of you. And you have to continually resist that. The best knowledge that you can have is what you get when the Holy Spirit reveals all of this crap to you.
Yeah.
There's the true intelligence.
And that's what Satan fears.
He
fears the information and insights that God is giving his children.
Yeah. And you know, in that poem when I was reading it, where God says, I am not swayed by your status, your wealth, or degree.
Yep.
To be strong in this world, overcome, and succeed requires your learning more about me.
Correct.
So, I mean, it is so evident that Satan now is using this infrastructure to call to the demonic realm, but God hasn't released them yet. They are held up in the heavens. They are bound. Some of them are bound in the heavens. Some of them are bound in places because these are the nasty of the nasties. And when they get released and they begin to inhabit these human bodies that have given up because they're not temples anymore.
Yep.
They are open for demonic possession.
Yep.
And that's what Jordy Rose was talking to. He should know. He's a Satanist.
He said a lot back in 2013, 14, and 15. And in those ensuing years, he made a very infamous, because we've presented it so often, statement that when you stand next to one of these, meaning his black box quantum computer, when you stand next to one of these, it's as if you're hearing...
You're at the altar of an
angel. No, you're hearing the heartbeat. He said, it's as if you're hearing the heartbeat. And the heartbeat is the pulse dilution refrigeration system. I'm defining that heartbeat. That he is saying that it sounds like a heartbeat. But then he said in the same presentation that it is as if you are standing at the altar, before the altar, before the altar to an alien god.
And how would he know that unless he himself, through ritual, was not entering in to the place that he could even identify that?
That's right. Why? Let's pull back. Let's talk about scientists, physicists, quantum physicists, particle physicists.
They're all weird and strange.
That would be speaking in public at a conference,
yep,
such as Jordy was. And you don't hear these kind of outlandish, fictional storyline, mythological storyline language coming out of a scientist who is giving a scientific presentation, mm-hmm, to a group in the audience of scientists, engineers, programmers. So it begs the question, and he's repeated this. This is not just one singular venue. He was repeating this behavior in which he would make these references, that if you take them out of the context of being said by Jordy Rose, and they were said by another scientist who perhaps is not as well known, but giving a secular scientific presentation on quantum computing, and that scientist were to say things like Jordy Rose said, in that context, you would say that man's lost his mind. That man is delusional. And yet they don't put those labels on Jordy Rose.
Well, they did take him out of the real public because,
yep,
though Satan was probably very flattered at his zeal,
mm-hmm,
he has a different cloak of zeal on, he had to be removed because Satan gets more work out of his workers by keeping them out of the know.
Yeah.
You know,
out of the limelight, out of the
public out of figure. The limelight, but I also think out of the know of realizing and understanding, he in a sense puts his own blindness on people so that they will not recognize the source by acknowledging the spiritual influence.
Right.
Because if they did, they wouldn't work for him anymore.
Right.
If these scientists, physicists, quantum mechanic technologists, demonologist is the right word, knew who they were working for, and yet I know every single one of them suspects it, but they are so in deep now they can't get out.
Yep.
They know that they've been dealing with the spiritual realm. Their request is, or their statements usually are, literally, what the hell do we do about it? Well, that would be the operative word, wouldn't it? Because if they ever try to turn around and leave, their life would be absolute torment. Because they don't, number one, they don't know the power of God. Number two, they've underestimated the power of Satan to influence and direct their life. which they will retire from CERN with God knows how many years of quantum knowledge underneath their belt, and they're still pretending that they found the God particle. They don't know what they saw. They can't identify it because God can't be seen. Their stupid little double slit experiment, the idiotic things that they try and explain. The bottom line is God cannot be seen.
Yep.
And when he chooses to be seen, it's his choosing. Deal with it.
And even then,
don't make excuses.
And even then, to Moses, he said, "Do not look upon me."
That's right.
So, CERN, you don't want to be looking upon God.
And Jesus, in his mercy, when his friends were excited to see him, and they finally, first of all, they didn't even recognize him in his risen state because he was absolutely glorified. They couldn't even believe what they were seeing. And their first reaction in a human sense was to go near him. And he said, no. It's kind of like the man that was standing by the oxen when they were carrying the ark.
Yeah.
You weren't even supposed to approach God. David was mad at that. Because that servant went out to, you know, touched it to try and steady it so it wouldn't fall, and he died immediately. David's like, that's it, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. If that's how you're going to do what you're going to do to people, I don't want to do this anymore. Jesus was telling them, don't touch me. I have to go to the Father, because he knew the power in him was so great that you could not touch that without dying. It had to be, that power had to be adjusted for humanity.
Yeah.
And that's what God is doing for us. He is so unveiling the satanic plan. This is what Satan didn't want. What we're talking about right now, this is what Satan didn't want.
And to further,
don't let them come into that understanding.
To further extend that, what he does not want people to understand is the fact that we have command and control, which is what he's seeking over the human mind, over the human spirit, the human consciousness. Command and control through entanglement using quantum computers. We have the command and control, not through quantum entanglement, way beyond quantum entanglement. We have the command and control over Satan's technology, be it a laptop, smartphone, which is really stupid phone, quantum computers, it doesn't matter. His technology, even the biology that he's trying to change within the human body, we have more power. We have the command and control. This is what Satan does not want people to come to an understanding of. The fullness of the Gentiles is the fullness of an understanding of the command and control of God's children over Satan and his minions.
It is also a fullness of power. As I was just saying, when Jesus had to go to the Father and he told them not to touch me, he said, wait until the Holy Spirit comes, because the Holy Spirit was going to be that interface. He knew how much could be put in a human body. And certain children of God can only have certain amounts of power because they are not perhaps advanced enough in their walk with God, yet still it's more than the average Joe bag of donuts will ever have that has walked now with Satan. So God will met out, if you will, the levels of power.
Oh yeah.
But don't let Satan think that the computer is reading your mind, child of God. No, it's not. Your thought process is running interference with his plan. Your thought process can call to and manipulate this data that is so quantum entangled with Satan. But our power is regulated by God. Why do you think that they're talking about, they're telling us 5G, 6G. No. They're so far beyond that. Their levels of power, their incremental movement toward greater power.
Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett had made the statement that they are at the 10G level.
Warren Buffett, okay.
In technology.
Okay. But as you see, Satan, he can barely keep this information to himself because he's so excited about it. He thinks that he's just so wonderful. But you know, I'm there to bust his bubble because no, he's not. As he is making the world aware of greater and greater advances in technology and power with respect, and all that is just a mechanism to fuel his machines.
Yeah.
Because that's how he has to appear as omniscient.
Yep.
On the other side is God's power, and it doesn't have to be. He will determine how much a person, a child of his, gets. And how they will operate in that power, and what will be their, you know, their niche, if you will, in terms of the kingdom of God, and you know how that's going to work for on behalf of us preparing the world for the return of Jesus Christ.
What their role is.
Yeah. So it absolutely, you know, all of this 5G, 6G, 7G, 10G talk is simply a reflection of what God is doing now in his children. I hope you can see this and grasp it. That moment that we spoke of in the future, the power, it's here now.
Yep.
It's here now. They've been waiting to hear this. They've been waiting. When is it going to happen? We've been, for the longest time, we've been saying, oh, when Satan flips the switch, forget him. God's already done it. And he's making you aware of it. Even if you're hearing this for the first time tonight with new ears and in a spirit that you should be having your spirit right now go crazy. Oh my goodness, is this really true? Is it really true? The answer is yes, it is. Yes, it is. Preachers around the world that have been calling this a precursor and leading people astray have been talking about, oh, the power of God's going to come upon you. I'm going to lay hands on you. Keep your hands to yourself. I don't need you laying hands on me. What I need is the power of God through the Holy Spirit coming into a surrendered, repentant child of God who says, I am nothing. I am nothing without you. And I know it. I know it. My life amounts to nothing. Those are the people that are now being filled with such power that you call to this technology and it will answer you. Why? Because you're a child of God and you're running an interference pattern on their technology. This is where Satan's technology works against him when he comes up against a child of God. This is why he's working so hard to bring mankind under his control.
This is what he's been racing against.
Yes.
This is what he's been accelerating against. This is Operation Warp Speed. He knew there was going to be a point in which his children came to the fullness of their understanding that
the fullness of the Gentiles,
that we have power, we have dominion as a gift from God. Dominion over Satan and all of his technology, no matter the form, no matter the format, we have command and control over Amen. All of the technology.
Amen. Because God's power supersedes anything
Yep.
that Satan can do.
Absolutely.
It supersedes. And when you get hold of that, it's like, little one, why do you worry?
Yeah.
Why do you worry?
Yeah.
So I think it's very exciting. Satan, God pulled the rug out from underneath Satan. Everybody's sitting here saying, oh, I wonder where the switch is going to be pulled. Oh, we're going to see zombies running around. Oh, we're going to do this. You know what? Don't even concern for yourself. We are not watching what Satan's doing. We're watching what God is doing. And he is letting you know, I have set and appointed the time for your deliverance. I have appointed the time for my power to manifest in you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. We are probably, as a human race right now, in terms of numbers, at the weakest. We are definitely the minority. But the majority has already come under Satan's power. We can't be, I hate to say it, and I don't want it to sound uncaring, because again, my prayer is always that God would show our living relatives that have taken this vaccine into their body, the mark of the beast, for God to be merciful to them. And I think it is so important that we focus now on meeting and being with God so that we can use that power that is at work. The power, okay? An understanding of how good is that power? This power brought our Savior from death to life. That's the kind of power we're talking about here. So it makes turning on your computer and something you were thinking about but never spoke and it pops up on there seem like child's play. It's a magic, it's a cheap magic trick. But it really isn't. It is the power of the child of God coming into contact with a source of perceived power that never should have been even given the credence that it's been given. But Satan's blowing everything up, you know, he's making it. This is all about him, you know. So he thinks. But don't fear it. Don't fear it. One interruption in the electrical realm, and it renders this useless, which is why Satan now is looking to get that spiritual...
into the human body.
That demonic realm into the human being so that he has his entities on his side. So what does that tell you? The power of the Holy Spirit is already at work in us. God pulled that rug out from under Satan. We're not waiting for him to flip the switch. We've just been made aware that the Holy Spirit's presence is now operating in a child of God at a level that has never before been used on this earth, because we're that generation. And as children, we have an inheritance. We value our birthright. We are entitled as children of God to the assets that God himself has promised to us through Jesus. That is power. The same power, not different, not a little less, not a little more, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. You will do even greater things than these,
John 14,
said Jesus. That time is now. You don't have to wait anymore. That's what Satan doesn't want you to know. I think it's awesome.
Amen to that.
I think it's awesome. All right, I'll let you...
We're not going to do the tech tonight.
No?
I'll take it over to Thursday.
Okay.
I want this message tonight that you just delivered to sink in.
I think it's encouraging.
Yeah. I would encourage everyone, once Doug posts this in short order after we close tonight, Doug will get this posted into the archives. He has to download it and then upload it. So give it a few minutes. But you may want to just listen to this short live stream again tonight. I would like you to close in prayer.
You don't have anything else to say?
No, I don't want to muddy the water with technology.
Okay.
We're going to do that Thursday.
Muddy the water then. Yeah, technology does have a way of making things rather... hard to see, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for that cloak of zeal. That we wrap ourselves as part of your armor. We wrap ourselves in that cloak of zeal. And Lord, we are zealous for you. We're zealous for Jesus' return. We're zealous for your power to be operating in and through us, but never in a showy way. It's not like we wake up and put our arms up in the air and say, I've got the power. In our heart, we're starting to understand, hey, yeah, we do. But we still don't quite know how to work all of that out. But for your children who are submitted to you, you are going to teach them. You are going to teach us through the Holy Spirit how we use this, because we have to walk very, very circumspectly in this world, Lord. I suspect the next thing that Satan's going to be doing is going to be ramping up and making use of the technology that will be able to scan for those, because now he needs to know. As of now, Lord God, he needs to know who he's dealing with. So his scanning technology will supposedly offer the answers for that. So Lord, I thank you that you have called us friends. That's what Jesus said. I no longer call you a servant, I call you a friend. And a friend tells a friend things. Lord Jesus, we are honored that you would even acknowledge us, let alone call us a friend. We've hurt you. Our past generations are the ones that, through their actions and behavior and words, put you on that cross. And I'm ashamed to say that even the generations after that are still so sinful, Lord God, and that it's almost like a crucifixion all the time. And I speak for myself, but perhaps for others, we are so sorry that we do that. I'm so sorry sometimes, Lord God, that I'm human, because I know that I'm sinful and I know the sins I've committed. I know the people I've hurt, and I'm sorry. And I know that my brothers and sisters are too. Lord, we don't deserve your power, but you know what? In this world right now, we cannot live without it. We can't. I come to you tonight, and it's a different kind of night here. It is a night where your Holy Spirit has been able to reveal to us with amazing clarity just what it is that you have given to us as our great and awesome inheritance, and we don't deserve it. But for the sake of your name, help us to bring you honor. You are glorified. You are resplendent. I love that word. You are resplendent. And you are so worthy of our praise, of our gratitude. We give you thanks, Lord, for everything. Not just the material things, Lord. We give you thanks even when we see our loved ones turning away from you and who may not be with us in eternity. We thank you for holding our hearts in your hand, for understanding our weak state, not making excuses for it, but for understanding it and applying your mercy and your grace when we know we don't deserve it. Help us to be children of the Most High, to wear and know that our crowns, Lord, not one of us would ever say that they could see themselves in a crown. And I, for one, Lord God, would like to be one of those that lays it at your feet. I know we all will, because it belongs to you. I've not done much right in my lifetime, Lord. I've, like the poem says, I've done more wrong than right, and I shudder to think how I might look in your sight. And yet you tell me through Jesus, you see me as pure, but in my humanness I struggle, and I'm not always too sure. And so, Lord, I know that others here feel the same way. Help us to maintain a humbleness and a teachableness in our spirit. Guide our hearts because they so want to lead us astray. And Lord, we can't have that at this time. The stakes are too high, and you are too precious to let go. And so I come to you right now with my brothers and sisters, and we tell you with all of our hearts how much we love you and how grateful we are that you even thought to give us life. And I ask you right now that every single person here, both now and who will listen in the future, will be so moved in their spirit by your spirit that they will praise you. For the rest of this week, Lord God, put praise songs in our mind and on our lips and in our sight, that we will give you the glory and the honor that is due your name. And we just ask, Lord God, tonight that you would continue to watch over and protect and defend. Oh Lord, Lord, we need you to be that strong tower that we run to, that we might hide under the shelter of your wings until this evil passes. You have promised us, Lord God, that we should not fear the arrows that fly by day or the deadly pestilence that stalks this world, that it shall not come near our home. We ask you, Lord, to protect our homes and our health. Filter the air that we breathe, the food that we eat, the water that we drink. That these things that they spray into the atmosphere, Lord God, and into our air will not harm us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And we guard these temples as best we can. Thank you for giving us the armor and now the glorious spiritual power of your Holy Spirit to defend it. I pray that each and every one of us, Lord God, will be imbued with such courage that we shall not fear, not death, not Satan, not the spiritual realm, because we stand in a position of spiritual authority and can command those in the name of Jesus. Because the power that we also have through your Holy Spirit is that the word goes forth and that resonance parts the way. The demons will hear it and they have to move because of the name and the blood of Jesus. They just have to. It's just the way it is. That's your law. And it can't be broken. And he can't get around it. So I thank you. Teach us how and when, but to know that we carry your Holy Spirit power now within us in a new way. And it will affect change. And Satan has every single reason for him to be fearful now, because your children are coming into the fullness of understanding of what it means to carry within them the power that raised Jesus from the dead, with the confirmation of the words of Jesus himself saying, "You will do even greater things than these." That was for this time. To you alone, O Lord, our God, our King, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, to you alone we give all glory and honor and power and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Love you.
I love you too.
God bless you all. Good night.